Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the Supermax and the Star Asset tiers of the hierarchy of assets. Okay, so I'll have it up on the site so that way you can check it out, check all the players listed, and you know, sort of see what they are and give a graphic representation, so you just don't have to take notes or anything as I'm talking. I'll give you something more specific than that for your reference in the future. But I did want to do some content on this just because I think it's important. So the Supermax guys, again, so this, you can listen to the podcast talking, the strategy session talking about the qualifications for this, but I'll just run back over it. To qualify as a Supermax quarterback, a quarterback should meet the following criteria: 3 or more years of contractual security. How do I define that? I like to look at the guaranteed money. I like to look at sort of, you know, how long you're actually committed, and the guaranteed money basically together. And then, you know, you can kind of see from there, you know, how long the person's under contract. You know, for some of these, you'll see really huge cap numbers with little guarantees that pop up like in a year or two. You can look at a guy like Aaron Jones has that. Like, for example, Josh Allen has like an enormous cap hit. It's like 2024, 2025. That's going to be the sign of a restructure, right? That's when they'll restructure his deal. But that's far enough out that, you know, with his record and production and everything, I'm not worried about those sorts of things. But again, it's a couple of things are worth noting. It's not that long. 3 years isn't super, super long into the future. There isn't a ton of guys that qualify, right? So that's just a big takeaway for these things. Just, I think that's worth noting. All right, so guys that are, so again, 3 years of contractual security, and so that's the number one. So 3 years of contractual security, and they either are in the top 5 of ADP with a prior hit, or they're in the top 10 of ADP with multiple prior hits. Okay, so I have at this particular point 4 guys that I am qualifying as Supermax guys, and then a 5th that I'm putting an asterisk by. So the top 4 are Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, and Prescott. They're a combination of floor and ceiling that I think just are above everyone else, right? Deshaun Watson would be the 5th in this category. Okay, he would be the 5th here. But there is obviously the concerns about, you know, is he going to get traded? Is any of that, you know, what's going to come of that? I think right now it's a really unique time to be able to take a shot on him, to take a shot on a star asset, right? Because when you're looking at these guys, and again, Mahomes, Allen, and Herbert are basically the top 3 guys, top 3-4 guys in these startup drafts. And then you get Prescott being down a little bit further. He's an opportunity, I think, to buy. And Watson's an opportunity, I think, to buy, because just the upside so high on Watson. You could make an argument to me that the upside isn't quite as high on Prescott. I do think the upside's high on Prescott. I think we're coming off of a year where he, you know, without a ton of positive variance going in his ways, on a per dropback basis, performed the exact same performance as Joe Burrow, who had basically everything go his way, right? So when you look at that, right, that's kind of why you buy this, right? You buy a Mahomes right? He's just different, right? They're just different. In a bad season for him, he's like quarterback 6, right? Like that's right. In a letdown season, he's already well ahead of pace for making the Supermax list, right? Like of 2 top guys in the, you know, of guys who are up that high. So. Yeah, that's the big thing with them, right? When you look at the odds and stuff like that, like already Mahomes is ahead of pace. So, those are the guys there again. So it's Mahomes, Allen, Herbert. I'd probably take them in that order. You could pitch me, Allen or Mahomes 1 or 2. I think Herbert's the clear 3. And then, you know, I think other guys are going to go ahead of Prescott. I think Jackson might go ahead of Prescott. Murray might go ahead of Prescott. Burrow might go ahead of Prescott. You know, I've seen Lance, right? I've seen, you know, who knows what, you know, Lawrence might go, right? Like, those are all bad bets, in my opinion. So I would put Prescott there. Again, I think his combination of floor and ceiling, and what you really don't want to do up here is you don't want to whiff, right? You can't whiff this high. That's why we're kind of, it's the elites of the elites that are up here, and I feel confident about these five guys, assuming Watson is back and healthy. Again, if you can acquire him for the cost of a couple of core guys, or a core and a contributing guy, something like that, using the principles of this, that's a good way to go about it. That's a good way to go about it. The next group is your group of star quarterbacks. Okay, and so these are guys that have a top 40% chance to hit for multiple top half finishes in the next 5 years. And so that's true over all of these. So we'll do star quarterbacks first, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. There's basically three guys that qualify. The qualifications again for this, it's basically the remaining top 10 quarterbacks, with a hit. And that's basically how we sort of view them, right? That's kind of the lines on the quarterbacks are a little bit, they're more skewed, I think, in terms of like they're a little bit more practical than just kind of the raw number lines of some of the other positions. But it's the guys that qualify here, Burrow, Lamar, and Lamar would be a supermax if he got a supermax extension. Right, so that's I think notable. Kyler Murray, I'm not super Kyler Murray. I should, if I was just clinically doing this, I would probably say Kyler Murray with an extension should fit in the supermax category. I don't feel that great about him, and I feel great about the other guys up above him. I kind of want to see him play like a full healthy season and have a nice, like, fully productive season. We've seen sort of bits and pieces of his seasons, and it just gives me enough pause that I'm like, and that's kind of how I feel about Jackson. So, about Murray. Jackson, my concern would be, like, I think he's a really good player, but he has been regressing as a passer, and that gives me a little bit of pause as well. If they pony up and say, listen, 5 years, yeah, $185 million. Like, let's do this thing. I'm not quite as concerned, right? If they start on the, hey, we're going to tag him, Kirk Cousins track, that gives me a little bit more pause. Remember the other thing too. We don't know everything, right? We don't know. There's a lot that we don't know. In fact, what we know about a player, in terms of their performance, in terms of what we see on the field, in terms of all the stats that we can do. Right? We can do all the stats. Right? We can do all the stats. We can do all the analysis. Right? We can spend all of our time doing that. And we still know like 1% to 2% about what a player is. And we know what he does on the football field in terms of what that is, in terms of his time of his life. Right? It's not that much. And so that just gives me a little bit of like, you don't know with some of these guys. Watson's a good example of this. You don't know if they're coming to practice. And again, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not making this specific to Lamar, but I've had enough sort of smoke around the Kyler Murray thing to say like, hey, there seems to be some fire there. And I sort of suspected that for a while. That is one of the best ways that we can know that information is understanding the contractual security. So I do think that at that point, right, you're probably going to pay Lamar, right? You probably are. But I just want to wait and see. You know, I thought you'd probably pay Dak Prescott earlier than you did, right? And then he ultimately like came out and, right, if we'd sort of put Dak Prescott in the supermax category before he signed his contract, that wouldn't have felt good as he was lying on the ground with a broken leg, right? That wouldn't have felt so good. Again, they ultimately did right by him and paid him, and he was playing well at that point. But if that had gone poorly, right? If he was playing instead of like Dak Prescott that year, he was playing like, I don't know, someone less, right? If he was playing like a top, you know, like the 20th best quarterback in the league at that point, we'd probably be in a different atmosphere with him right now. So that's a lot of the reasons why I sort of structure this the way that I do. And that contractual stuff's a check and balance on basically what we don't know and the security going forward as well, their commitment. So then there's three guys. So Burrow, Jackson, and Murray qualify. Three guys that don't technically qualify by the number. Wilson, Stafford, and Rodgers. They are behind Lance, Lawrence, and Fields. I comfortably can put Wilson and Stafford there. I think it's appropriate to probably put Rodgers there as well. You could pitch to me like, hey, this might be a little bit too aggressive. You could, right? There's two sides to this, I think, right? Like, hey, he's on sort of the more extended age-wise. We don't necessarily know where he is. The market's treating him down a little bit too. He's at 17. I think part of that is his some of the uncertainty about him. And when you look in a tier on keep, trade, cut, for example, which I'm using to influence some of my decisions on, you know, the actual cost of guys, Wilson's in the same tier of him at 11. Like, and they're pretty close in terms of cost. He's 38, right? 2 to 3 years. I think he probably can hit the threshold. It's sort of that. So Rodgers is probably by the ADP number, the biggest stretch that I have in including anyone in any of the tiers that I will include. But I'm going to include him as a star quarterback. So your star quarterbacks, Burrow, Jackson, Murray, and then aren't there but are being included. Basically, my personal addition would be Wilson, Stafford, and Rodgers. Okay, so that's your star quarterbacks. Now, when you go ahead and look at your star running backs, again, these are guys that by the number, it's top five running backs, and then it's top six finishers in the first 2 years of rookie deals. Like, those are the guys that are going to qualify. So I would say, and they're on their rookie deal at the present. So I would say right now your star assets all qualify and all are good. JT Swift, Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, and Christian McCaffrey. There have been questions that have been asked of me. Again, I go back to what I said about you don't have to treat them all the same, right? You treat Javonte Williams and JT differently. You should. I think that the difference, right? When you do look at these, like, I think you should feel a certain level of difference between Javonte Williams and a guy like Dobbins, right? Like, the next tier after them, I think there's natural reasons to feel differently. I feel of these guys that the closest one to the next tier is Javonte Williams. I would have McCaffrey up. I definitely have McCaffrey ahead of Javonte Williams. but you could sort of pitch to me, you know, I think I'd have Swift as four, and then I'd probably have Harris and Christian McCaffrey as two, tied at two or three. You know, you could pitch me either side of that. I'd be fine. JT's probably at one. But again, if you were to sort of think about, hey, how do I pivot? Can you go JT to CMC plus? I don't know if that's gettable. I don't know what the reality of that is, but they are multiple spots apart in terms of they're multiple tiers apart in terms of at keep, trade, cut, for example. It's the cost of basically it's like a later first round pick valuation. If we were to sort of look at it, is kind of close there in terms of like the their valuations of guys. Again, I don't know if you can do that. I'm not sure that's how I would do it, right? I would probably use that to sort of as a pay through for an upgrade at quarterback. Like, hey, I'll pivot from JT to McCaffrey. Again, I don't even know if that's a realistic pivot, but people have asked me about how I'd pivot from JT. Like, I would use the downgrade from Taylor to McCaffrey to upgrade, like, as a passer at quarterback, for example, or a tight end, right? That would be sort of the angle that I would do. I probably wouldn't necessarily do it for picks. If I were to do it for picks, like, my goal would be, all right, I'm going to use the pick and some other assets to get me an upgrade at quarterback, something like that. Like, that would sort of be my end goal of all of that. So, but I do think there is a gap, right? And so that's a way to potentially explore it. If both of them are good, I think McCaffrey's better than Taylor. He just has proven that. If they're both healthy, McCaffrey's better. Now the question is why are they different in cost? Two real answers: age, a couple years, and McCaffrey's the recency bias of McCaffrey coming off of an injury. Outside of that, right? I think you put them on the field, you both give them 17 games. I think 80-90% of the time, McCaffrey's going to outproduce Jonathan Taylor. So, but those would be sort of the ways that I think about pivoting if I was going to pivot, like sort of try to pivot in that tier. Again, but the difference in cost between Taylor and Williams, I think, is a lot. And it's more than I would treat it at, McCaffrey. I would have McCaffrey closer to Taylor, right? So if I was going to try and pivot off of Taylor, the first person I'd call would be the McCaffrey owner, McCaffrey GM. So, all right. So those are your star running backs. It's Taylor, Swift, Najee Harris, Christian McCaffrey, and Javonte Williams. All right. Turn into your wide receiver position, right? So again, these are going to be your top eight wide receivers. And I also include in that top 12 finishers in the first 2 years of rookie deals. So who do we have here? Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. And then I do think it's a perception difference for me. I feel differently about the guys after that. And I think that if you were to start looking at these, the difference between a lot of these guys isn't that much. And you could I could spin any of these guys up in a rankings order and then come back and think about it, 2 days later, and it would be totally different. There is a lot of flux in this, a lot of good profiles, a lot of different profiles, a lot of profiles that I'm not sure that we should treat all that differently, right? And so taking, would you rather just take 10 or would you rather come up and take a stab at 4, right? And I do think a lot of that theory has to be the way that shapes your position on the how you approach the position. But you have Ja'Marr Chase, you have Justin Jefferson, then you got AJ Brown, Jalen Waddle, Cooper Kupp, CeeDee Lamb, Debo Samuel, and Tyreek Hill. Those are the guys that make it by the number. The guys that don't make it by the guy that doesn't make it by the number but makes it by the top 12 in the first two seasons is actually DK Metcalf. Right, so DK Metcalf in that grade as well. Deontay Johnson just actually misses, but he had a top 12 season in year three, and he's got two top fours. So I put him in the core asset category, but again, he's pretty close there in terms of in terms of that, right? So that would be an interesting pivot to get from maybe someone like Metcalf to him. But that pivot option is probably not that big, but I think that's an interesting one to think about. All right, so again, that's Deontay Johnson doesn't make that jump. He's in the next category of core guys, but I do think he's an interesting one as a sort of pivot option there. Well, how do we sort of look within that tier? Well, again, I think you have an old and you have a young group, right? So you've got Metcalf, you've got Higgins, you've got Lamb, you got Waddle, and you got Brown. They're all 24 or younger. And so I think that's one way to look at it. Then you look at some of the older guys. You got Kupp, and Debo's 26, Hill's 27, and so you have like an old and a young tier in there. I do think it's a big jump down from the top two guys. You wouldn't find me paying wide receiver three costs for AJ Brown. You probably wouldn't see me paying wide receiver three costs for anybody. I'd rather probably just, instead of taking AJ Brown, I'd rather take T. Higgins at 10 if I was going to do that, right? I'd rather take Deontay Johnson at 12 than take AJ Brown at 3, right? I'd rather, and then as you start looking a little bit more, right, you can sort of see yourself trickling down the board a little bit more in terms, when we get into the core assets, you can start looking at that and, maybe there's not a ton of difference between these guys, right? There probably is. There gets to be a spot where there definitely is. But that line is really interesting. Again, I think that you have to remember that it's not a cliff you're falling off of. It's a gradual decline in line. And so, what's the difference between like Adams is at 11, if he was locked into a multi-year deal right now, would I treat him up? Probably, yeah. I'd probably treat him as a star asset, and sort of, boost him up. I'm just not at this point because he's 29. He has might be playing on a franchise tag with, we don't necessarily know who the quarterback is, right? There's just too much uncertainty. I just don't have him up. You know, if he signs, you know, basically a 3-year guaranteed deal with Rodgers coming back and they're going to run, you know, run it back in Green Bay, I feel a lot more confident about it. Just not there yet with Adams based on where everything is at. All right. Then the last position here is going to be your stars. It's going to be your top three tight ends that qualify by the actual numbers of it. And they are Pitts, Andrews, and Kittle. I think that's right, probably, in terms of that. I've said all along that I think the tight end that I would target in Dynasty right now would be whoever is cheaper in your startup drafts between Kelce and a Waller, because I think that they present basically some really high upside, and if they're going to be tight end 5 or tight end 6, right, that's a pretty unique situation at that cost. So that would be the thing that I would do. Listen, if you had said, I think Kittle is probably never going to be put at tight end 1, but if you said, hey, it's Pitts or Andrews, you know, which I could make an argument for either one of them. I think that the consensus argument or the maybe majority argument would be for Pitts at 1. I could point you in ways that would say, hey, it's Andrews, right? I think if I was forced on the clock, I'd probably take Andrews. And that would be a couple of things. I have a little bit more sample size on him. There's probably not going to be a quarterback change. I kind of know what the system is going to be for Andrews. And I don't know with Pitts sort of what his next couple years is going to be like. Is he's going to play with the declining Matt Ryan than a rookie quarterback? Like, is that what his rookie contract is going to be like? And if that's going to be the case, right, I think Andrews can definitely get out in front of him pretty substantially here going forward. Yeah, that would sort of be the thought that I would have. I think a similar argument goes for Andrews over Kittle, right? We can have questions about Lamar Jackson, but I think we have proof of concept that Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews work together. So whatever questions you'd have about Lamar Jackson, it's not a Mark Andrews issue, really. So I think all those things, like I think how you balance those, like, is interesting. You know, who has the sort of sky-high valuation upside? It's probably Pitts, right? Who's more insulated in terms of, you know, if they were to produce a tight end 8 finish, it's Pitts. So I think those things are all probably are in his favor. If you said over the next 3 years who scores more points, I'd probably get plus money and I'd probably take Andrews, would sort of be my estimation on where the market is. So that would sort of be how I'd do it. Again, I would include in this Kelce and Waller. I think that there's probably a break after the top two. Then I think how you value Kittle, Kelce, and Waller is interesting. I'm taking if I get a crack at the cheapest one of that in a rookie draft or in a startup draft, I'm taking that person. There is a tier break between Kittle, Kelce, and Waller on Keep Trade Cut. That's notable. Actually, in terms of the actual values on Keep Trade Cut, Hockenson is ahead of Waller. So again, already Waller in bright lights is being a target player for me. So that's it. That's your star assets, at all the positions. So again, it's Pitts, Andrews, Kittle, Kelce, Waller at the tight end position. And at your receiver spot, it is it's Chase, Jefferson, AJ Brown, Waddle, Kupp, Lamb, Debo, Tyreek Hill, and DK Metcalf. And then at your running back position, it is your top five guys, JT, Swift, Harris, Williams, and Christian McCaffrey. And then at quarterback, Burrow, Jackson, Murray, Wilson, Stafford, and Rodgers. All right, so that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.